In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From our psalm today, Psalm 67, verse 7. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is our text. Going back to that psalm that we spoke responsively between the first reading and the second reading, I'd like to ask, what does the psalmist say? What words of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving does the psalmist place into our mouths? What promise does he plant in our hearts? It's these strong words, these bold words of promise, the last verse from our psalm of thanksgiving. God shall bless us. These are the words he puts in our mouth. This is the promise he places in our heart. God shall bless us. God shall bless us. But what do we hear when we hear this? The first word that jumps out at me when I hear these words is the word bless. To me, the word bless sounds like a cornucopia filled with all sorts of good things. Or a bit like the land of sweets from the Nutcracker ballet, with images of treats dancing through my head. Or like a Christmas tree loaded high underneath with piles and piles and piles of stuff I want. That's how I hear the word bless. Is that how you hear it too? As a blank check that you can fill out however you want? As a promise that good times are back again and here to stay? As an indicator of a bull market in which the Dow just keeps going up and up and up forever and ever? Amen. It's strange, isn't it, when we think of the word bless this way? We live in an age of abundance. Lifespans haven't been this long since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet it seems like we always expect more. More blessings from God, more stuff, more health, more wealth, more, 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 more. That's what I do with the word bless. I turn it into more stuff for me. You know, ancient kings would have given an arm and a leg for things that you and I get in Walmart, or for the triple antibiotic you pick up at the pharmacy whenever you need it. But we hardly count these things as blessings. When I think of myself and the world in which we live, I'm reminded of the crowd that Jesus fed in the wilderness. They were so thankful for the bread that he'd given them that they wanted to make him their bread king. As if being a baker were the best thing Jesus could do for them. I'm also reminded of the people of his own hometown. They'd heard about the miracles he did in other places, and they were really put out that he wasn't doing more for them. As if opening a family medical practice in Nazareth were the best thing he could have done there. Sometimes we even treat Jesus this way with respect to spiritual things. We may think of him merely as the guy who punches our ticket to heaven. Like the conductor on the train. We're glad for the punch, but we're headed to the place we want to go. But it's not like that. It's not like Jesus is simply the one who punches our ticket and then we're over and done with him. No, he is heaven itself. To be with Jesus is heaven. But you see, this is what our sinful humanity does with God. It turns God into the servant of our desires, our wants, and our dreams. God is made to serve our purposes, whether that's economic prosperity or free enterprise or social reform or democracy or happiness or security or peace of mind or you name it. You see, when we think of blessing this way, we change the Lord's Prayer into our prayer, and instead of saying, "Thy will be done," we say to God, "My will be done." And you know, it's so easy to fall into, because this is the natural way that we fallen human beings approach things. And there are even certain strands and strains of Christianity that promote this. They say that God wants to bless, but by bless they mean health and wealth here and now. Name it and claim it. Just believe. What a bunch of hogwash. That's not what it means when it says God shall bless us. Now, of course, the psalmist certainly wants us to recognize and enjoy the blessings of God. He wants us to recognize and enjoy how God blesses us through the increase and the bounty and the fruits of the earth. So do praise God for the cornucopia of good things and for the sweets and the presents and all of that. And praise him, too, for the turkey and the stuffing and the pumpkin pie. We have many wonderful gifts from our God. Enjoy them. And he has fulfilled his promise in part by blessing the earth, by giving good weather and harvests of plenty, by providing parents and other authorities for the support of this life, and through his gifts of health and skills and work and family and possessions. But we're badly mistaken if we think that's all there is to God shall bless us. Why, that hardly even scratches the surface. No, bless means far more than baked goods and clean bills of health. Moses points to this and hints at it when he recounts the 40 years spent wandering in the wilderness. The Lord humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from his mouth. You see, what mattered in the wilderness was not that they had food or water. What mattered was that they had God. God was with them. He was there in the wilderness when they hungered and thirsted, and he was with them when they walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Even in trials, even in tribulations, even in times of pandemic and suffering, they could say, and we can say with them, God shall bless us. And we can say this because the emphasis is not on the word bless, but on the word God. What would happen if instead of focusing on the word bless and the pile of gifts, we focused on the word God and the giver of the gifts? God shall bless us. No matter what else he gives or fails to give, no matter whether your cornucopia is full this year or empty, he gives us himself. It's implied in the first commandment. As believers, we don't need to have any other gods because the true God has graciously become our God. You see, God himself, not just what he gives, not just what he does, not just the bread or the healing, but God himself is the blessing. And his name is the blessing. For by his name we call upon him, and his word is the blessing. For through his word we come to know him and all that he gives and promises to us, and we come to have him as our God. There's a question that I've seen connected to the first commandment that I've always found striking in an arresting sort of way. It goes like this: have I clung to what God takes away, even though he gives me himself? I bet as you look back at this year, you can find a lot of things that God has taken away. Maybe as you look at tomorrow, you'll see things that God has taken away. Maybe Thanksgiving has been taken away from you. But there's one thing that hasn't been taken away, and it's your God. And he gives himself to you. You see, God shall bless us. He is our blessing and no other. And it is enough for us that we have him, even if we have nothing else. God shall bless us by being our God. And how do we know that he is our God? Because it would be easy when the cornucopia is empty or the pandemic is raging to wonder if we really do have a God at all. We know that we have him as our God through Jesus Christ, through what Jesus has done on the cross by dying for us and taking the sins of the world and becoming our Savior. You see, every blessing of God, from all of the blessings that we see laid before us here to the blessing of God Himself, flows from the fact that Jesus came to be our Savior from sin. It flows from the cross. If we want to see that God is indeed our God, we need look no further than that. Through Jesus, because He has taken away the sin of the world, we are reconciled to God. So God does indeed wish to be our God, and He does indeed wish to serve us, but He wishes to serve us in keeping with His own will and not with ours. And this is why we pray, "Thy will be done." And what is the good and gracious will of God? He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants forgiveness of sins, life and salvation to flow from the cross of Christ out into the world. And in fact, our psalm says the same thing. God blesses us and gives Himself to us that your name may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples, all the peoples, praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let all the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. You see, the blessing that God gives is for the sake of the world coming to know Him, not only as the giver of good gifts in this life, but as the giver of every good and perfect gift and of all that we need for the life of the world to come. So in whatever ways God blesses us, His people, the church, He does it so that all people might come to know Him. The goal of His blessing, the purpose behind everything that He gives, is the salvation of the whole world. We believe in God's salvation through Christ, and we proclaim that salvation to the world so that God blesses them just as He blesses us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. Or as we hear so often, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And you know those words give exactly what they say. They give His blessing because they give us Him. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, do bless us and shall bless us now and forever, and never more than when we are standing face to face in the presence of our God. In His name, amen. Amen.